You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast, where we interview success entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you've joined me today. I'm your host, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me magazine. You can find this self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. Be sure to go ahead and check them out. I am very excited to have Bryn Tillman here with me today. Bryn is the Chief Learning Officer of Ingresso and best-selling author of the LinkedIn Sales Playbook. It's a practical guide to social selling. Bryn is an internationally recognized sales and social selling trainer since 2008. She has trained over 20,000 sales, marketing, and business development professionals and companies including Bloomberg, IBM, Aramark, Comcast, and McKesson. Bryn works with sales and marketing leadership to customize their LinkedIn and digital sales programs, develop a simple-to-follow playbook, and rolls it out at scale. Bryn, thank you so much for being here today on the show.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. No problem. We're anticipating jumping right in about LinkedIn. And I wanted to, I know you're from Philly, right?
I am.
Awesome.
How are you?
Oh, awesome. Well, I am in Atlanta. I get to go up to Philly every now and then, maybe every 3 years or so. And we were chatting before the show started about all the history and culture there. Do you ever get to get out and see that, or is it just something that's kind of passe for you living there?
Yeah, well, you know, it's fun. When I first moved here, and I would even do some of the bus tours and really get to know it. But now, I mean, it's fun when I have guests in from out of town, I get into all of that culture. But when you work downtown and you're there all the time, sometimes you start to take it for granted a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I do appreciate it. Yeah. Mm. Well, cool. Well, I wanted to jump right into LinkedIn. And I know a part of what you do is really helping brands not only market and sell on LinkedIn, but actually identify their branding strategy, their content strategy. And I wanted to start from the top and get your idea of exactly what branding is and how would you actually define a brand that's well-honed and well-developed?
Well, that's a great question, and it really there's two different brands. There's a company brand, and then there's the individual professional brand. And then the professional brand actually also will sort of is a subcategory of your personal brand too. So from a company brand, that's more from a marketing perspective. So let's focus a little bit on any individual brand and what you can do there to really grow your reputation and what that brand is. And I think ultimately when you're branding yourself, for example, on LinkedIn or your digital footprint, it could be YouTube, it could be any platform, your brand represents ultimately, if it's a personal brand, who you are. But if it's a business brand, which is where I really focus and I specialize in, It's who and how you help. To start to build a reputation around the value that you bring your buyers, the value that you bring your audience and your clients, all is what determines your brand in the marketplace. So that's sort of a high-level look. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And much like a personal brand, a business brand does come from a standpoint of value. I think a lot of times, professionals, entrepreneurs, and even companies, businesses, they may put the cart before the horse. Well, they develop this, the logos and the colors and the beautiful website before they even figure out, exactly what type of value they'd like to, what they can bring to the market, or even who is their target market, who do they want to bring value to. So in terms of LinkedIn, what's a good strategy for a company, a business, or even a personal brand to use that platform in order to show value, in order to leverage that brand? What are some good best practices that people can follow with that?
That's a great question. So first we want to start with, what do we want to get from our brand? What is our focus? Are we looking to get brand recognition? Are we looking to get leads that come in through our website, traffic to our website? Are we looking to get more phone calls with qualified buyers? Determine before we build our digital presence, what do we want to get from it? What's our goal? And there really are two different goals. There's the results goal that we're looking to get. So two types of goals, right? So the results goal is, what do I want to get to? I want to grow my sales by 10%. I want to have 100 leads a month. I want to have whatever those results goals are that actually we don't control. Because what we control are the activity goals. What are the things that we can do today to drive that result, right? So we control that piece. So the things that we can do from both a brand and activity on LinkedIn is, some of it is going to come from the company, and some of it is going to be responsible, the individuals will be responsible for the activity piece. So let's start with the company. The company has determined these are our goals. We set KPIs, key performance indicators, so we can measure if we're getting success and we're meeting those goals. Now what we need to do is, you mentioned this, we need to create a client persona or audience persona based on for LinkedIn, which can be very different. If we're creating sort of a marketing persona, we want to, it's women between the age of 35 and 55 that have 3 children. Like sometimes like that becomes the client persona we're building out when we're in marketing. When we're leveraging LinkedIn and we build out these personas, we want to leverage the LinkedIn filters so that we can find them on LinkedIn. So our client persona is really based on the filters, when you go to an advanced search, whether it's in the free LinkedIn or in Sales Navigator, what are the matching filters that will produce us a list of the targeted people? So we want to build out that persona. We also want to build out our messaging. We want to make sure you mentioned content. So what is the content that we're going to share? And is that content going to attract, teach, and engage our persona, our targeted buyer? And that often is, there's a breakdown there that we start putting out stuff. It's more about, how to buy from us or the solution we solve today versus information that is relevant and helpful to your buyer in a way that's not selling to them yet. So CEB talks about this as, you want to lead to your solution, not with your solution. You want to make sure that the content that you're putting out there, when you lead with your solution, it's a pitch. But when you lead to your solution, it's like you're dropping breadcrumbs and you're attracting them to you. Ultimately, you're getting them interested in having a conversation, if that's your goal, which is typically my goal, more conversations with the right people. So from the company perspective, it's their responsibility to develop that content. They can certainly get help from the frontline business development team, but it's their job really to provide content that aligns with the sales process. And that does that work. The sales person or the frontline or the business development or the entrepreneur, whomever is responsible for bringing in the business, now needs to leverage that in the right way. So it starts with their profile, making sure that their profile is not their resume, but a resource, so that when people show up, they're excited to have a conversation. They've learned so much from your profile that they know a call with you is worth their time, and that they're consistently nurturing that network with really good content. And that doesn't mean that you're posting it all the time. Posting is great, but you're getting it into their inbox personally, and you're letting them know why this is of value. And all of that, and there's so much more. I mean, that's sort of the tip of the iceberg. But those are the kinds of things to build your reputation and get you to be seen as the thought leader and industry expert, ultimately the vendor to call when they have a need.
Absolutely. Such good stuff here. Now, let's go back to that buyer persona, because I think, you know, from a marketing standpoint, everything begins with that buyer persona, the target market, who you'd like to reach, because you're going to, of course, craft your marketing, your messaging, and your content geared toward that individual. And, you know, I'd like to find out from, you know, the organizations that you work with, do you see several buyer personas, several target markets within the same marketing strategy, or is that maybe segmented out into two separate marketing strategies?
Well, so that's a really great question. And so higher level, there are 6, 7, 8 personas within an organization if you have a complex sale that you're going to be touching throughout the sales process. So And I think I would look at this almost as like account-based selling versus traditional prospecting, and it's much more, again, complex sale where there's IT involved and sales involved, and like, you know, you've got enablement and marketing, and it's not like a $1,000 close. You know, it's a much bigger proposal. Strategically, there's a couple of ways to attack something like that. The first is, you know, you've built out each of these personas. Maybe we know in general, here are the 11 titles that are going to touch this deal. Here are the 4 that are going to touch at the top of the funnel. You know, 3 more that are going to touch it in the middle of the funnel. You know, 2 more that are going to be involved when, you know, signing off the economic buyer, signing off on the contract, and then 1 that's going to help you in the implementation or whatever that looks like. So here, in general, this is what our sales process looks like. Here are the people that are going to be touched throughout that sales process and what matters to them in that moment, right? So that's where we have to really get a good look at that. So the top of the pipeline, the shopper, the person with the problem, like that might be, you know, the department head that went to the shopper and says, this is our problem, go find this a solution, right? What are we doing to attract and engage those people where they are in the sales process? In fact, a lot of times I will say write content or develop content that hits them right before they need you. So what are they thinking about right before they need you? What are they Googling before they realize that you're the solution or that they need your type of solution, what's happening? So if you're selling telephone systems, maybe they're talking about, you know, three ways you might have content around, you know, 3 ways to get an extra year out of your telephone system. I don't know, or 5, you know, 5 hacks to serve your remote sales your telephone system, whatever, I don't know telephone systems, but at the end of this, like, get them when they're searching before they realize they need a brand new telephone system. Don't get them while they're shopping. Get them before, if you can, right? So you always want to talk to them right before they're at your place, right? You want to be the one that's educating them, that's molding their decision, that's moving them toward you as a vendor. We know from many studies, including CEB, that our modern buyers will gravitate to vendors that educate them the most. In fact, that educate them first. So we want to make sure that we're getting into their decision-making process before they even realize they're in a decision-making process, that we are influencing that mind shift. So, and then you want to do that in every level. So once they do that, so now the next, you know, middle of the cycle, meaning now that buyer is bringing that into the other people that will get involved in maybe vendor selection, what matters to them before they get those RFPs in front of them? How do we mold the thinking around a solution? Not saying our solution, but if we know our differentiator, how are we making that very loud and clear that this is the be-all, the end-all? When you get that new phone system, if you don't have this little thing, it's all going to blow up. I mean, that's exaggerated, but right? Like, you want to make sure, though, that you're planting those seeds so that when they go shopping or when they look at their solutions as they go, you know, halfway down that sales cycle, that you've implanted ideas in their head that only you can solve, right? So those are the ways to think about how are we, and I hope I'm answering the question that you asked, but how are we moving them through the sales cycle and controlling it with our content that we provide, our industry insights, our benchmarking, and our differentiators?
Absolutely. That's why this conversation about content is so important. And you know, nowadays, you not only are an entrepreneur, you know, you are no longer a salon owner or a real estate agent or, you know, an insurance broker. You are now an insurance broker and a content marketer. You have to be coming from a position of content marketing if you're going to have a business that sustains through this next age. And any ability to educate your target market will just, you know, allow you to be more competitive in whatever industry you're in. So you are absolutely right about that. I do want to talk about, go back to the LinkedIn profile. And you said something that really resonated with me about how it's important that your profile isn't just a resume, but it's actually a resource. Can you talk about that and what that looks like, someone with a well-optimized LinkedIn profile that's a resource to their target market? What would that look like?
So it's interesting, right? So we have grown up now in the last, you know, 10 years to LinkedIn as a job searching tool. So most of us have built this out to be just that, right? It's our resume. It's how many years of business. It's our mission, even our passion sometimes is on there. Our job responsibilities, and if you're in business development, some of that job responsibility will write, you know, we made President's Club 3 times, had 150% of my goal, I've hit 150% of my goal. I've, like, on and on and on of all these, you know, I'm a great contract negotiator. How about that? Like that. So now we put all these things into our profile, and our buyer gets here, and we're scaring them away. Right? We're saying to them, you know, I'm going to sell the heck out of you, and I'm really good at it. But it's not saying I'm really good at solving your problem. It's saying I'm really good at selling you. And so we have to have a mind shift, right? We have to kind of get in their shoes. We have to look at everything that we put out there and say, is what we're putting on our profile moving them toward our solution, toward our goal of having a phone call or an appointment? Like, if this is our goal that we set, we touched on those KPIs in the beginning, if my goal, which my goal is more phone calls with qualified buyers, is what I'm putting on my profile working toward that goal? When someone visits my profile, am I getting them to want to have a call with me? And in today's world with self-educating buyers, the modern buyer is making very quick decisions on whether or not their time will be well spent speaking with someone. So you have to earn the right for that phone call. It is not a free phone call for them. It's their time. So it's our responsibility in our LinkedIn profile, and is one of the places, but throughout our digital footprint, that we are always educating, that we are always providing value, that we are helping them whether or not they ever talk to us. And this is really important, is vendor agnostic insight. That means that they read this, and in order they can make change even if they never talk to us. You can have impact. You can provide incredible value even if they never have a conversation. And the reason is, I mean, our modern buyers are pretty smart. They need modern sellers. Our modern buyer is in search of a modern seller. And a modern seller is someone who truly is going to provide value, earn the right, so much value that they can't wait to have a conversation with you because they feel confident that when they talk with you, they're going to get even additional value, more insight, things that can help them move closer to a solution, not someone that's going to try to sell them. So your profile to represent that. It's your headline. Your headline is who and how you help, right? Your summary, my summary reads very much like a blog post. And my experience is not what I do, but how I help my clients. And there's a big difference.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, very, very insightful. And it does, now we are called to lead from a standpoint of service. And if you are unable to do that, you will appear like a walking billboard, or no one likes a telemarketer, right? So, you know, in order to lead from a standpoint of service and provide value and to be seen as a value-added source, you've got to share that good content. You've got to have a profile that's not coming from a hard sell approach, because you're right, it will turn people away. So let's talk about social selling. I know this is a hot topic in the B2B world. Do you see social selling having an impact on maybe a B2C company? And can you, you know, before you answer that question, define it a little bit for us. Give us some examples of what social selling is.
So social selling is different than social media marketing. So social media marketing is a lot of pushing content out to the masses and hoping and praying that someone sees it, clicks through, downloads something, and gets into your pipeline or funnel. That is absolutely vital to business development. So I am not minimizing the importance of that. Social selling, however, is from the rep standpoint, or from the entrepreneur, the hunter, or even the account manager who needs to go wide and deep inside of an organization. So it's about, it's like spear phishing, right? It's like I'm going after specific people, I'm building relationships, I'm getting warm introductions and referrals into those folks, and I'm sharing content one-on-one that moves them, that's relevant to them. So for me, social selling, although, I mean, I'm social marketing all the time, I'm putting content out, I'm engaging with people that respond to my content. Social selling to me really higher level, it does fall under four things. So it does fall, I guess the overarching social selling is your brand, it's networking with your new connections, it's prospecting, and it's sharing relevant content. So those four things are social selling. But the real magic of social selling versus social marketing is engaging one-on-one. So I think that's the big thing. So your second question is B2B versus B2C. So every single corporate human being is also a consumer. So there's absolutely opportunity for a consumer play. But I think you have to make sure you're using the right platform. So on LinkedIn, there are opportunities for consumer. No question, there's an opportunity for consumer play. But it's a little bit different. And the approach, you know, people are on LinkedIn primarily for business. So you can put someone off much faster on LinkedIn if you try to go after content, and education is a great way to go. And I think on LinkedIn, the content is going to be much more important than prospecting necessarily. You have to be careful at prospecting on LinkedIn. But if you're connecting with the right people and you're providing value, great. There are many consumer playing opportunities on social. YouTube is huge. Obviously, Facebook is huge, and Instagram. Depending on where your audience is hanging out is where you need to be. But it's about having the right balance and making sure that at every interaction you're bringing value, you're not pitching.
Yeah. So what are some examples of how to engage with people on LinkedIn without being, you know, creepy or too, you know, overbearing? You know, what's the etiquette of engagement on LinkedIn?
Great question. So high level, if I would say the number one best way to leverage LinkedIn is to identify who you know that can help you gain access into targeted market through warm connections. So, for example, search and filter your clients' connections, and before you have a visit with them, do your due diligence and come with a list of, you know, people they may be connected to that you'd like an introduction to, and have a conversation about those folks, and one or two or three will turn into a warm introduction. So that would be high level, the best way to interact. When you come in through an introduction, you're coming in with much more credibility. There's a lot, it's a lot lower threshold to get a phone call and to get into a meeting, and you know, you're relevant. So that would be number one. Number two would be to engage with them in what matters to them. So looking at their content that they've shared, liking and commenting, obviously reading it and having conversations with them around the content that matters to them. Looking at commonalities, you know, schools, for example, and you can go and find these. So I have, you know, very targeted market in my Philadelphia. I have across really globally, but I like to target when I'm actually prospecting in Philadelphia because I don't have to travel. It's lovely. So we have tons of business here. So I have that market. Well, I have my huge list in Sales Navigator of my Philly companies. I think it's probably 5,000 that meet my criteria. A year and a half ago, I guess, I'm not good at dates, Villanova, which is a local university, won the basketball. I'm so bad at sports too, but whatever the Big Ten, they won, right? Like they won the whole kit and caboodle. So I went back into Sales Navigator with my 5,000 companies, 5,000 prospects in the Philadelphia area, and I filtered it by Villanova people that graduated Villanova, and I came down to like 80 really prime people. So now when I reach out to them, I'm like, congratulations, Villanova, woohoo, right? Like, in addition to other things. And all of a sudden, I started conversations because they're so hyped and excited, and that was what mattered to them in the moment. That's just like one example of how you can get on their radar with it in a way that's not spammy. Another example is Vangresso. My company actually has some relationships with the NFL team. So the Jets is in New Jersey, New York, is one of our clients. And we had an opportunity to fill a box with joint prospects, which was really, really cool. Well, when I went through a list, there were four or five people that I really wanted to get in there, but I didn't want to be spammy. So, I mean, I just had fun with it a little bit and started with a conversation. This is, are you a Jets fan? If not, stop reading. Kind of fun, right? Like, it's like, and so that got the attention of one of them who said the reason he read it is because I said that. So you don't have to be, you can have a little fun with that. And he ended up showing up, and, you know, we're on our third call now with them. So when you think about it in that context, first of all, just remember there's a human being on the other side and treat them as a human being. Right, don't get so businesslike that you're cold and not approachable, but keep it professional, right? So those are kind of fun ways to think about this in engaging. The bottom line is don't pitch, don't sell right away. Keep sharing content that's relevant to them and convert it to a phone call to offer more insights. So in almost every real prospecting opportunity, if I'm not inviting them to a webinar or to a live event, then I'm inviting them to a conversation. Like, so if you found value in this stuff that I've been sharing, Wait till we have a phone call. The insights I'm going to provide you are going to blow your mind. It's going to be the best 15 minutes of the week. Right? And now when I get on the phone, I'm still not selling them. But I'm providing insights, and the only way I'm going to give them great insights is for me to learn about their business. So it really doubles as a discovery call. But ultimately, I am prepared to give them some amazing tips and strategies that's going to have a huge impact on their business development. Or for me, it's business development, but a huge impact on what they do. So it's really about engaging them like human beings, and don't sell. Just keep providing. The modern buyer requires a modern seller, and the modern seller is all about moving them toward your solution with content and insights and data points and benchmarking and industry status and things like that, that's relevant to them.
Awesome. Wonderful. Now, Bryn, are you reading any good books right now? I know that our
I'm actually in the middle of a really cool book that's called Heart and Sell by Shari Levitin. It's 10 Universal Truths Every Salesperson Needs to Know. Really good. Great read. Every time I read something, and it's an easy read, and every time I'm like, oh, my God, I've been there. I've done that. I felt that pain. I understand. And it's just really great. So Heart and Sell.
Awesome. I know our listeners would love to hear about your book recommendation, and hopefully we can all go check it out. And don't you have a book as well?
I do. It's the LinkedIn Sales Playbook, A Tactical Guide to Social Selling. Amazon bestseller. You can go to linkedinbook.info to get that. It also comes, which is really fun. So LinkedIn is so visual. So I see all these LinkedIn books out there, right? But how do you translate this book to, you know, actually navigating LinkedIn? So there are absolutely tactical steps in every single part that I teach. It's like the how is it, step-by-step is there. But the real bonus is it comes with 11 videos. So you can actually see it in action. Yeah. That's been really powerful for people for truly implementing the business development effort.
Yeah, that's definitely, that makes a difference. I just read in Adweek yesterday that LinkedIn has rolled out video ads, the ability to have video ads on LinkedIn. So, you know, everything in social media and online marketing is really moving to video. And so I know it's a lot easier now to record on LinkedIn, not in real time, but you can actually, you know, use the app and that sort of thing to record video for LinkedIn. I love it. It's whenever I see a video scrolling through my newsfeed, it definitely stands out over a lot of the other content that I see. So,
the other benefit of LinkedIn native video, by the way, you can upload anything. So you can, any video, you don't actually have to use the LinkedIn video app, upload any video there, which is great. So that's number one. But number two, currently, and who knows how long this will happen, currently LinkedIn is really pushing the native video. So if you actually upload a video to their native video and share it, like I got 60,000 views of one video. That would never happen with a normal share, ever. So I don't know how long, and I guess the more adoption it gets, the less they'll be able to do that. But now that it's relatively new, in fact, it's not even rolled out to everyone yet, but a lot of people have it. Take advantage of that. It's unbelievable, the traffic that it's getting. And what's happening is that if you get any kind of traction, it keeps it at the top of the newsfeed for other people. As you can see top activity or recent activity, it'll stay there, a top activity, because LinkedIn wants people using it.
Oh, this was wonderful, Bryn. I thank you so much for being here. And I'm confident that our listeners will be able to take everything we talked about today, all this information, all this LinkedIn insight, social selling strategies to grow their brand, their sales, and their content strategies with using LinkedIn. So I'd like to take it to our listeners. I want to hear from you. What do you think? Are you using LinkedIn to leverage your personal brand? We have an Ask Shanta segment in each show where listeners will send me their comments and questions about branding and social media to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. So that's brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Send me anything you have, and especially feedback on my interview with Bryn today. I really love this interview, and I got a lot of information. I learned a lot today. So in today's Ask Shanta segment, I want to talk about how to drive traffic to your website. You definitely want to use a blog. You want to have a blog on your website in order to drive traffic. Whether you use your blog for news, updates, sharing valuable knowledge, if you're posting video on your blog or expressing an opinion about a relevant topic in the industry, every business who has a website should be using a blog. With regards to social media marketing, blog posts can help a company populate its social media accounts with valuable content. Having good content on your website by way of a blog will drive traffic. People will click on that link if it's on Facebook, be driven to your website to read the blog, and it would help build thought leadership and will elevate your brand to the next level. As you heard in my conversation with Bryn, it's so important that we are putting out great content, valuable content that is a resource and a reference guide for our target market, our leads, our prospects, and our clients. If you have a blog on your website, it will achieve those goals and then some. And plus, if you've ever heard of search engine optimization, which is basically how well, how high up you come up, your website comes up in Google search results. If you've ever heard of that, your blog will actually ensure that your website comes up higher in Google search results if done the right way. So your homework is to start blogging. Go ahead and get a blog on your website, and you will see that traffic grow. For all questions and feedback, again, for the show, hit me up at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. The Branding with Purpose podcast can be heard on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and you can check out show promos on our Facebook Live show promos platform at Up to Me Radio Network Facebook page. And don't forget to just check out everything we have to offer, all of our other shows, at www.up2meradio.com. And as always, you can connect with me, your host, Shanta Wetterhahn, at competitivebrand.com, and feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I do accept LinkedIn connection requests. Now, join us next week where we will be talking with another expert on how to elevate our brand and our purpose. We'd love to have you there. Thank you so much for being with me today. You could have been anywhere in this whole world, but you chose to spend your time with me to focus on your brand and your purpose and grow your reach, and I truly appreciate you for that.